Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How many days are you gonna wait before you're tired and knocked down? How many days is it gonna take to decide to walk away now?
Everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé's The Other Way, Season 5, Episode 15. Welcome aboard the Hot Mess Express. I am, of course, your host and conductor, Puya Zanvakili, ready to break things down. And with me today is a man who is the chair of many fan clubs for some of these couples, but we're not going to highlight those at the moment. We're going to highlight the great friend and podcaster that he is. It is Jason Reed back in the fold once again. Jason, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I hope you stick to your agreement we made pre-show that you would read out all of your DMs on this podcast for all to see.
I would rather die than show
it. I would rather die.
Very dramatic episode when it came to DMs and social media. So we'll dive into all of that for sure. But for now, we're going to hold them for last. We're going to talk about TJ and Kimberly first and foremost, Jason, because they are having a wedding. Last week, Sasha was here with us to break down the first part. We began part two, day two of the wedding, and we're still not done this wedding. Next week is what feels like the culmination of the entire thing. So,
yeah, I think we'll finally be done with this. I think it was a two-day wedding that takes place over three episodes for some reason. So, and in this episode, really, like we were talking like pre-show, and I said this really kind of feels like a second hour that was meant to be put together with the last episode, because this just felt like the continuation of last episode where Kim was just kind of pouting basically for most of this episode. So it was a little frustrating to see.
Yeah, I feel like I've been talking about the runtime on here pretty much every week, but I came in excited that they shortened them. I thought that it was a lot more digestible, but then I feel like for podcasts, it's been difficult to navigate because I feel like we're getting very little bits and pieces at a time. Mm-hmm. Although it comes off fickle because then on 90 Day Proper, it's an hour and a half and it's only four couples, and I feel like there's not enough meat on the bone for an hour and a half. So I don't know what I want, Jason, is my honest truth.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. It's tough to really get to really get a good runtime that we would rather prefer. I think it's really kind of also about content and how they divvy out the content, because it does feel like they meant this to be 2 hour episodes, and then Last Resort just flies out of nowhere and they're like, okay, we'll just cut everything in half. So it's you know, like I said, it's kind of about what content they include in each episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did get a tweet at me today, which I am now failing. Oh, there we go. I heard The Other Way is continuing for 1 hour episodes until the end of the year. I think Family Chantel has taken over the second hour on Mondays after Last Resort. So no signs of stopping, and just more signs of delaying the season.
Yeah, do you remember Julio and Kirsten? Do you remember they were on this show?
That was on this season, wasn't it?
Yeah. So long ago. I don't even remember when this season started, but you know, how many episodes is that going to be? We're on episode, what, 15 here today?
Mm-hmm. So if we're going till year's end.
That's over 20, right? Maybe 25 or so.
Yeah. Cause let's say we're doing Monday. So 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. So really 25 if it stops before 2024, man, which is a lot.
That seems like so far away, and it seems like a lot of these stories are wrapping up. So like, what are we gonna do? I don't think we have any other surprise couples that are coming into it.
I would hope not. I don't think so. I feel like Shekinah and Sarpa are the last ones to be added here. Mm-hmm. But my question is, in 25 episodes, if it goes that far, how many couples are we going to be left with?
I don't know. Because, you know, we think about Wayne and Holly. They just got married. What else are they going to do? It feels like we've really kind of wrung that rag dry. Kim and TJ are getting married. So what do we have left to do is a good question.
Yeah, because this is where I'm at now, because I'm thinking about it. Holly and Wayne, I feel like the preview-ish storyline they were giving us for them is that, you know, now that they're married, Holly's mom has to leave. And I feel like that there's like some continuation that I can see happening there. Whereas with TJ and Kimberly, where do we go after they're married? Because are we just going to continue seeing how they live? Because I don't feel like they've given us that indication in the previews or in the season as it's been going on that that's where we're going to head out with them. I don't know what's going on with Danielle and Johan on the show. Kenan and Armando are here to remind us that good couples do exist. And really, Shekinah and Sarper, dare I say, have kind of snuck into the Gino and Jasmine of it all, where in the beginning, I didn't know why we were getting this. And I'm like, good, you're here because I can dunk on you. This is good.
Yeah, I think they're here for the toxic comedy question mark spot. so, and you know, Kim and TJ, I think after this wedding, they're going to go right back to what they were doing pre-wedding, which is fighting. From what I remember from the preview of like this season on is her screaming, like literally blood curdling screaming. So I think we're just going to go right back to status quo before the wedding.
Yeah, well, let's go to this wedding of TJ and Kimberly and dive on in. So day two has begun, and basically the big overarching storyline in this episode for them is that Kimberly is a little frustrated because she has no idea what's going on in her own wedding. She doesn't feel like she's even really a part of it. She feels like she's just walking through the motions, which I don't blame her. That's exactly what's happening here. Go ahead.
I want to feel bad for Kimberly. I really do. But she makes it very hard because she walks around pouting like a 5-year-old. Also, there's so much that she takes no responsibility for not knowing what's going on. She's like, you were supposed to tell me. You were supposed to do this and that. No one's here with me. Okay, there are so many resources. There's Google. There's, you know, whatever you want to look up. There's so many people here you could ask. You could have sat down with TJ and say, listen, you haven't explained to me what's going on here. So I want to sit down and go through every step of the ceremony and see what we'll be doing for these, you know, 2 days. So she really takes no responsibility for not knowing. Of course, part of it is on TJ for not doing his part in sitting her down. But she's just like, no one's telling me what's going on. I don't know what's happening. So it's like you had some part to play in this as well.
Yeah. So my feeling is I'm with you to a point where the pouting don't help. The frustration I can understand because obviously, and I've said this before, TJ is clearly not doing enough to inform her on what's going on. But I also feel like she's not asking in the off time. Because obviously in between night one, night two, I don't know the ins and outs of these wedding ceremonies, but I do know you get some downtime, some rest time, a little light reading. And it doesn't have to be big reading. You need a 20 minute reading before you go to sleep or when you wake up. And you at least get a gist because like we discussed with Sasha last night, some things are, you know, every wedding is different. Some things are going to be highlighted more than others, but you'll get like a rough idea of what you're going into at least.
Yeah. And it's not like this wedding was sprung on her last minute. Like they didn't tell her last night, hey, by the way, you're getting married tomorrow. There was lead time. There was time to talk about what's going to happen at the wedding. I'm sure there's some sort of person in charge of planning the wedding, of what ceremony is going to be taking place. I think they both could have done more to really understand what's going to be happening here. Maybe TJ knows everything and just, you know, like TJ likes to do, not tell her, but she also needs to speak up and be like, yo, what's going on? I don't feel like I know what I'll be doing during these 2 days. So let's break everything down. I think she spent so much of her time there pre-wedding arguing with TJ about a lot of times nonsense. So I think she wasted a lot of her time with that stuff rather than finding out what's going to be taking place at this wedding.
Yeah, I definitely get the same sense as well. And one of the bigger frustrations she does have is they were doing this ceremony and they wanted to wait for the translator to come in and help out translating what's going on. Because this is where I do sympathize with her. She clearly wants to know what's happening, not because she just wants to know, but she knows how important all of this is to TJ, and she wants to connect with it. She wants to understand it. But it's tough to do when there's like all these moving parts, and clearly TJ has not talked to anyone beforehand and be like, okay, and there's a translator. We need to wait for the translator. No, they're just running through the motions. And it is what it is, but she doesn't seem too happy about it.
Yeah, I wonder if this translator was someone that's like a friend of the family and he's like, okay, I'll help out and I'll translate. Or if they hired someone to translate, or I wish you could have had someone. If I had a translator there, I would chain them to me. Like, you're not going anywhere. You're going to sit here. You're going to explain to me everything that's happening right now, everything that's going on.
You're my translator. You stay with me.
Exactly. I do like when TJ came, he's like, well, you know, we can't really explain every single thing that's going on because it's not really a good translation in English, which, you know, I get that. But I do appreciate her wanting to, as she says, she's a very spiritual person. So I appreciate her wanting to be, brought into the loop and understand why things are going on. Because there would be a lot of people that would just be like, all right, I'm just going to do this to get it over with. But she wants to really take part in it and be part of the culture, which I do appreciate that part about Kimberly. I just wish she would not pout as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like she wants to learn, but she doesn't want to do the learning. She wants to be taught by TJ.
She wants everything given to her on a silver platter. Like, and this is, hey, Kimberly, let me explain everything to you instead of her asking any questions until, you know, the last minute, where she's like, well, I don't know what's going on because you didn't ask anyone. That's why you don't know what's going on, Kimberly.
Yeah, so then ultimately we get to the holiday ceremony where TJ explains this to us, which I was like, save this, explain this to Kimberly. Why are you explaining this to me? But basically it is a ceremony where they use turmeric to make like a kind of paste, and then they touch the feet and the cheeks of the bride and groom. And Kimberly does not like to be touched, especially on the feet, but ends up feeling comfortable about it because it's clear everyone's doing it out of love and care. And she's in a much better headspace in this second half. What I'm learning and realizing, Jason, is that when TJ's there next to her, she's having a good time. She's fine. It's when he's not there that she feels alone and you know, crushed by both the language barrier and the cultural barrier, which again, I fully get because it can't be an easy position to be in where you're at your own wedding. You do not know a lot of the people that are here, and the person that connects you to everybody is not next to you.
Yeah. And I get that he's kind of the calm for the storm in this situation because he is there to be somewhat of a buffer, right? Because he's able to really explain it to her in a way that she would understand, because he's the one that is there that knows what's going on, that knows her the best. Her parents are there, but they also don't know what's going on, so they can't really explain anything. But he is the one that knows her in a way that he's able to really break everything down for her in a way that she will understand. So I definitely get why she's so apprehensive when he's not there.
Yeah, definitely. Ultimately, the next time on for them, like we said, does show us with them at their wedding night. So, like, I'm assuming the nighttime of what this day two stuff has been. So we'll get to see the culmination of that and then see where they go from there. Looks like it'll be a fun time, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping that she puts on her happy face for the rest of the wedding, because it seems like we leave her in a good spot at the end of this episode. So I hopefully the next episode we'll just be able to really enjoy more of the culture, more to the seeing the rest of the wedding with not a lot of complaining going on from her side.
Yeah, the fingers are all the way crossed for these two and their wedding, and hopefully everything goes smoothly. We'll get to it next week. For now, though, let's go to, again, a couple that reminds us there are happy couples on this show. In Kenny and Armando, so we've not visited them in a minute, and it's easy to see why just off of this one little scene we get from them, Jason. So they're back in La Maison. They obviously are now planning to move to Mexico City, and this episode centers around their relationship with Hannah, specifically talking to Hannah about the move and then talking to Hannah about having a sibling in the future.
Yeah, I feel like 90 Day recently has gotten to an interesting position, because I feel like most of the time it used to be when you follow these couples, I felt like we would see maybe a month of their time in a whole season. But it feels like we're really jumping around for a lot of these couples. Like we'll be somewhere one day, and then the next episode we'll be like, well, it's been a month since the last time you've seen us. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And that's the case here. It's been a month since we last checked in on them in their real time. And they're just back in La Misión living their best lives.
Yeah, they're having, again, healthy relationship, having a good time. They go on a snack hunt, which, relatable, I love a good snack. So I love that from them. We do get a flashback of Hannah before, when this conversation had come up about having a sibling, where Hannah was very adamant, I want them to be around my age, not a baby. When they explore this some more with Hannah later in this episode, we learn that it's coming from a place of potential jealousy and not wanting to be left in the shadow and lose attention from Armando, which then we had a very sweet exchange with Armando. Not only promises her, but reassures her that you are my number one, you are my best friend, and we're going to be fine. I promise you. Very sweet moment.
Armando lying, though. Armando's lying.
Hey, okay? Hey.
When that baby comes, that's going to be the focus, Hannah. Don't get it twisted. You're going to get some of the touch taken away. Okay. Just accept that.
Let's let her have the illusion, though.
Let's let her have the illusion. But I mean, listen, we know that baby's going to take up a lot of attention, Hannah. Okay. Just be okay. Just be all right. I'm down with Hannah, though, because if that was me, I'd be the same way. Like, no. I've been enjoying this only child life for a minute. And y'all going to be running there, checking on a baby. If you got someone my age, I got someone to play with. That's cool. But if you got a baby that's running around here that's crying all the time, I ain't with that. I was like, I respect you, Hannah. I respect you, gang.
Yeah, I was three when my parents had my sister. So I feel like I do not recall having this feeling. But also, I feel like I was young enough that it didn't register. Stick or, yeah. You know, I didn't notice it, whatever. But I imagine if I'm older, if I'm like eight, and then there's a new kid in town, I'm like, hey, this is my turf. But yeah. then they, after the reassurance, not only did Hannah seem fine, Hannah was like, can we share a room together? And I thought, Hannah, this is a mistake. If you were going to be given your own room, you should take it.
Bro, that's going to change after a week of a baby constantly pooping, constantly crying. Hannah's going to be like, actually, on second thought, give me my own room back. See, I'm an only child, so I never had to deal with any of this sharing nonsense. I don't know what the word sharing even means at this point. So I don't even know what y'all are talking about. I had the spotlight all to myself when I was a child. So
my sister and I shared a room for a long time. I do not remember what grade it was like grade maybe 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that realm is when I ended up getting my own room. And it was a game changer. I was like, oh, why did I not have this the whole time? But when you're younger, you're sharing the room, you don't really know, you know any different to be like, right. Oh, I want it to be this way or that way. So,
You know, Hannah is such an easy child, though. Like she is so easily persuaded. She's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, move to a new city. He's like, we can walk the dogs to come get you. She's like, oh, you should have said it in the first place. I'm down. I moved to a whole new city.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Hannah, like you're very easily convinced.
Yeah, she's keen. She said her favorite thing about Mexico City was the school. So that wasn't I feel like that might be sometimes the biggest obstacle if your child has friends and established relationships in their school, they don't want to move. But if she said the school is her favorite part, it sounds like she's going to be fine with them moving. So all eyes on when and how they move. We'll see. Next week, we do see them going to the surrogacy clinic to look at potential candidates for surrogacy.
Yeah, I love these two. These two are so you can tell their relationship is for real because they're so funny together. They're like, you know what, we found out we have like pretty much the same taste in women. in the surrogacy office, I'm like, well, what, maybe you want to have a three-way. And then the person at the surrogacy office is like, what the hell are y'all talking about right now? Right. I love these two. They're so great.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have them again back on the screen. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Kenny at one point makes the comment that, I think we have the same taste. It's good that we have the same taste in women. So we'll see where they take us from there. But real quick, before we go to the next couple, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with Danielle and Johan.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. So a swift move from a couple we all love to a couple we're all ready to say goodbye to. It's Danielle and Johan time, Jason. They're at the life coach's office. What are your feelings?
The life coach is like, did she do this to, because, you know, he said he apparently is done with a therapist. So it's like, okay, well, maybe if we change to a life coach, we can get the same kind of help, but I don't have to call a therapist because this is pretty much a couple's therapy appointment.
It really was, wasn't it? Because it felt like the life coach was basically the mediator translating some stuff, but then also working as a therapist and not so much in a position where he's coaching them. I guess there's some coaching, but I don't know. It felt more like a therapy session than a life coach session. But then I'm realizing I don't know a lot about what a life coach would be doing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Johan, you don't want to go to the therapist anymore? How about a life coach? Like, oh, yeah, sure, because, you know, Johan don't know any better.
It's a rebrand. I mean, I'm looking right now near me. There's a place called Life Coaching and Therapy. So I think they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. So I'm seeing therapy focuses on mental health. Life coaching focuses on goals. So I guess
I think life coach supposed to like point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
As to where your life's going to go. Therapists, I guess, help deal with issues you're having in your life, I think would be a good comparison of the two.
Yeah, like this article from ZenCare says that, therapy focuses on mental health and emotional healing, while life coaching focuses on setting and achieving goals.
Makes sense. Makes
sense. So, and clearly they got some healing to do before they get to the goal setting, which I think is what the life coach realizes midway through this meeting, to the point where I feel like the life coach switches it into more of a let's get some therapy involved here amongst you two.
I wonder if he thought, wait a minute, I usually counsel people that are like in a good spot to kind of give them a place to go, but I think y'all skipped a step. You were supposed to like fix your issues before you came to me, but I'll go ahead and help you fix the issues and then I'll set you on a good path, I guess. Like most people in most places, they bring the freaking dog again. Like, these people do not want your stinky dog in their office.
Your dog need not be here, but again, they are not keeping up with that.
Yeah, at all. They just go bring your dog anyway. They don't care whether you want the dog there or not.
Yeah, they basically have a full blown argument in front of this life coach where Johan complains that, I feel like she's not giving me the stuff that she said she would. And she's like, I've been here 3 months. You want me to purchase us a home, a car, and help your family? That's not going to happen in this amount of time. And the life coach translates it to, you seem like you're entitled to some things here, is what she's saying.
Johan's like, yeah, duh.
Johan's like, hey, didn't I learn it right? You said you were going to work and I would stay at home and like play with the dog. Like, I feel like you definitely took it to sound a lot more smoother than you may have thought. Or also,
where was this switch up too? Because if I recall correctly, Johan, you were all about, getting a butcher business.
He wanted to be the one to work.
Yeah. So when did the switch up happen, Johan, in your mind? Like, when did she come and tell you that this was going to be the new scenario? Come on, let's be real.
I feel like his thing is he has kind of switched off now and said, hey, I'm willing to work if you take me to the States, but if you want me to be here, you got to pamper me and take care of me. And I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing, where's my car? Where's my house? And again, it's very short-sighted from Johan here. And Danielle keeps hammering home, I've been very clear that you need to contribute financially as well. Like, I can't do this alone. And ultimately with the life coach, the life coach does set them some goals and they decide, okay, we need to sit down, communicate, see how much money comes in, how much money comes out. But the bottom line is you need to work, but we need to figure out how much we need to purchase the things we want to get.
I loved Danielle. I mean, I don't like Danielle. I'm not a Danielle fan, but I love when she was like, well, I apologize for your misunderstanding of what I said. I was like, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings or if you feel like your feelings were hurt. I'm sorry. Like, I love how she phrased that. Like, I'm not taking any blame for this, but I guess I'll say the word sorry in this word salad. So it almost looks like I'm apologizing, but I'm not really apologizing. This blew over very fast. I'm like, wait a minute. I feel like we didn't really do anything here. And everyone's just like, oh, okay, it's fixed.
Yeah, it straight up went from all these issues to, okay, I guess we'll just communicate. I'm going to have opinions and ideas. And she's like, that's good, but I also need action. He's like, okay. So with these two, I've learned to not trust them. So if it seems like everything's okay and it boiled over, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I feel like anytime they've ever, I feel like they need to hire a permanent mediator to be with them at all times, because anytime they've ever had a third party around, everything goes swimmingly. Everything goes fine. It's when they're left alone together, which is the issue.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, not even on the next time on. So don't worry, we're not going to see them for at least 2 weeks.
Thank goodness.
All right. So then let's switch gears and go over to Brandon and Mary now. And Brandon and Mary,
a whole ass mess.
It is a mess because we basically pick up where we left off last week, where they're in front of Lolo and Brandon basically says, would it be better if I go back to America? And to answer the question, Mary says, maybe, maybe if you go, you'll change your attitude about everything. And then I guess he didn't realize that she might call his bluff like that. And he immediately goes, I'm making an oath. I'm going to minimize the fighting. I don't want us to shout. I don't want to argue. She's like, good. And you'll wake up early to help put the chores. He's like, yes, because I think Brandon has a realization here that he doesn't want to raise this child in a chaotic environment. He came from a chaotic environment and he knows that it's not going to be good. So he wants to fix up Jason.
Yeah, I almost like when he said that last week and he's like, well, do you think it's just better if I leave and go back to America? I almost thought it was him being like, let me actually get out of here because I don't like where this is going. I'm really stressed. Let me actually just go back home. I thought this was his way of trying to escape the situation and like incepting into her head like, maybe you should go back home, Brandon. But no, I think you're right here. This was almost a threat. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just go back home then. She's like, well, maybe you should if you ain't going to change. He's like, oh, okay, that didn't work. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and change. I mean, it's nice to say those things, but we have to see some action here. We gotta actually change. And as he said to her, it's not going to happen in a moment's time. So I'll be very interested to see how he changes and what that looks like. Because, you know, not to jump ahead, but for the next time on, it looks like there's definitely going to be some time jump here because in this scene here, Brandon has like a buzz cut, and the next time on, he's got a full head of hair. So it doesn't look like we'll be, you know, we'll have spent a lot of time before we see them again.
That's a good find, good eye from you, Jason, because I didn't notice that. And given how we are with them, I feel like we're gonna jump because next week is going to be an interesting one. I imagine my prediction is they're gonna be getting the lion's share of the episode because Brandon's mom is coming into town for the wedding, which
and she is not here to make nice.
Brandon's
mom, this is not helping. This will not be a good idea for you to
at
just
all.
Just come in, guns a-blazing. Not even from what it seems, not even willing to give this a chance at all. So maybe it's just better if she would have just stayed her ass at home.
Potentially, because I don't know how much in between the buzz cut to the full head of hair healing they've done and fixing they've done. So I'm hoping at the very least that by the time Brandon's mom's getting there, they've got things in order because that's only going to throw fuel to the fire some more. They do ask Lolo's blessing to get married before having the child, which Lolo was all about. So yeah, that's
they do stuff so backwards, right? Like they you know, get pregnant before the wedding and then he asks her to marry him before he gets the blessing from Lolo. Brandon, you're so backwards, my guy.
And truthfully, there weren't a lot of rules out the gate. The rules were don't PDA and then don't have sex in the house, especially before you're married. And they did both those things immediately. So
he couldn't follow a single rule. And you know, poor Lolo. Lolo was just like, yeah, whatever, man. I guess. If you want to marry her, go ahead. And you know, Lolo's got a, you know, he's got a kind of he doesn't have a skeptical view. He's like, well, you know, once you guys get married, we can all live a happy, peaceful life, right? Okay, yeah, sure, Lolo. You go ahead and believe that.
Here go ahead, Lolo. Lolo's heart.
Poor Lolo. Lolo, they have stressed poor Lolo. I feel bad for Lolo.
Lolo's going through it, man. Had to go to another city to get more work and work while these two are not doing that. They've got this little shop that does pennies.
House, shacking up and getting knocked up. Lolo comes back to a pregnant granddaughter. I mean, Lolo's just, he's had enough. It's freaking American guy coming in here and just wrecking everything.
Well, and now Brandon's mom is going to be in town, so that'll be fun to see play out. Literally, Mary says that this is his last chance, so I have to imagine if mom's coming into town that they're doing good on that last chance, but let's not hold our breath here.
That last chance stuff, that's always a lie. That's always a lie. You know how many times she said last chance to him? I'm sure 1,000 in their relationship.
Why so skeptical? Be optimistic, Jason.
Because I feel like we've heard her say this is your last chance like several times throughout the season. You look at that girl one more time, this is your last chance. You look at another girl again, but yet he still looked at other girls and he's still there. But you know, it's never the last chance. I think they thrive in this kind of toxic bubble. As much as they don't want to be in a toxic bubble, this is their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they've built on right now, and we'll see if things get better for them. But I can't imagine we're gonna go anywhere but drama moving forward. So
yeah, I mean, listen, I want the best for Brandon because he seems like he comes from such a broken place. I'm rooting for him. I really am. And I really believe that he wants to be better, especially with all the stuff he said about, you know, his past life and how he wants to be better than that. It's going to take a while. And I'm rooting for these kids, but they both need some help before they can really thrive, I think.
Yeah, well, speaking of couples you root for, Jason, it is time for us to talk about.
I was dreading this the whole time I was coming on here.
Well, this is a sponsored segment. This is Jason Presents Shekinah and Sarper.
Yeah. Listen, I talked the talk last time I was on the other way pod. I was like, you know, Sarper, he's kind of a nice guy. And then the next episode, he's whipping lollipops out of the girl's mouth. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And then here come you and Mari on the show talking about Jason's favorite couple. Jason's all about this guy. And I tweeted to you both. I said, listen, I'm tearing up my Sarper advocacy card. It's over. I'm dropping him as a client. I am no longer representing Sarper.
You're looking for new people to represent. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's looking for new representation because I'm not going to be his lawyer anymore.
All right. Well, I got some candidates for you on 90 Day Proper to look at. Okay. Well, let's stay on the other way here. It's Shekinah and Sarper. And honestly, they have become the stars of this season, which is weird to say considering they were not there for the first half of the season.
I mean, the competition's not very strong.
It's slim pickings.
Yeah, it's slim pickings. So they're a relatively new couple. So it makes sense that we be spending a lot of time with them.
It's funny because it feels very blatantly, it felt blatantly obvious from episode one that there are a billion red flags in this relationship. And, you know, for a little bit, they had you fooled. They had me fooled a little bit. It seemed like, oh, they're both delusional, but they're happy. So that's good. Then the problems really started rearing their heads, and it culminates here because this whole episode is centered around Shekinah's sister, Shariah, who is visiting for the weekend in Turkey. And I loved the episode opening with Shekinah saying, so I've been living in Turkey for a week. And I was like, well, that's not enough time to say you've been living there for a week. Nothing's been settled yet.
You're
not settled in, and you're already getting a visitor, which can't be good because I don't think you two have sorted your stuff out to that point.
Y'all got a new bed yet or what? We haven't got an update on the bed. I feel like they brought that up and they haven't updated us on it.
Okay, so because the bed didn't get brought up in the dinner, I have to imagine they did get a new bed because that didn't come up as a point of contention. But I feel like it would have if she's been sleeping on the couch for a week or whatever. So let's assume they got a new bed until we realize that also didn't happen.
Yeah, because it feels like from what I've seen of Shekinah, it feels like she really likes to waffle on things she demands. So I think maybe after 2 days of sleeping on the couch, she's like, fine, I'll go sleep on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the thing. Shariah's coming in for dinner. They're going to have her over for dinner. And Sarper is in charge of making the dinner because, you know, he's got to show up that he's doing good. I love the little pep talk that he got from Shekinah saying, so my sister's coming. You got to do well here. And he's like, yeah, you know, she's like, make her see like that you care about me more than you care about you. And he's like, I do care about you. I want to make you the most beautiful girl ever. And she's like, yeah, don't say it like that. Don't say it like it could be taken as if I'm not deserving of you and that you're going to improve me or change me.
Like, yeah. Oops. And to his credit, he tried, right? He put on his best Lego hair, you know, to go meet this girl. He had his shirt halfway undone to try to show the goods. He tried his best impression, right?
Here's my biggest qualm with. Okay, no, I can't say the biggest, then say the other stuff that he says.
There's a lot of qualms.
Yeah. So he's in charge of dinner. And Jason, we both have probably been in situations where we're hosting, where either we're in charge of deciding on what the food is, whether it's ordering or preparing, whatever. This man has no oven and no heat, and therefore no cooking abilities in his house. He has chosen to make his specialty that he's not made in 10 years. So it's going to be a huge, huge plus that he's doing this for them. But he's making this thing that I looked up, and it's a Turkish dish that is typically an appetizer, and it's basically a Mediterranean style, like a beef tartare situation. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to cook it with my hands.
The heat from my hands are going to cook this meal. I think he comes at it with the best of intentions.
Yes.
He thinks this is a special meal. This is something he's never done for any other woman before. He's never even had dinner with a woman, Puya. This is the first woman he's having dinner with. First woman he's making dinner mm-hmm. for. This is special. He doesn't usually even look at women in anything other than sex terms. So this is special. But and so I can't really fault him. I don't think he doesn't have an oven. I think this is just the way he wanted to prepare it because he wanted to show off. I don't begrudge him this at all. But you're dealing with Americans, okay? A lot of Americans hear raw meat, almost similar to Danielle with the butcher shop, with, you know, the way meat is prepared, the way meat is stored, the way meat is done. Us Americans, we don't really see past like, oh my gosh, you're raw meat. You want to feed me raw meat? So I think he should have thought about that part of it more, but I don't think Sarper really has a lot of brain cells to really utilize. So he had the best of intent. I'm not saying he's a good guy. Not at all. Okay, I want to get that straight. You get it clear.
It's so funny listening to you walk this tightrope of I'm trying to say he's bad, but also I can understand that, but also this is bad. It's hilarious.
But he was trying to do the right thing here. He was trying to do the right thing. So
he was.
I give him that. And we'll get into the whole of it, but it's tough being in this position where you've painted me as the Sarper apologist.
No, you're not. You're not.
There's some things I might apologize for Sarper for in this argument coming up. So it's tough. It's tough. But let's keep moving on with the.
All right. So I think you raised a very good point and a very good way to articulate this argument that, you know, a lot of people might just look at him like that's raw meat and I don't mess with like my family. I'm a big sushi guy. My mom does not get it. She's like, but it's raw fish. And I'm like, yeah, but it's good. She's like, no, it's raw. You don't eat that raw. I was like, okay, yeah. I do, but that's fine. So this and this is typically an appetizer. If I was Sarper, if I'm in his shoes and I'm, you know, I have a potential in-law visiting of some sort, I think I'm going to get you like the nicest Turkish spread from like a reputable restaurant that I trust to give you like a tour taste of the whole thing. Cause I also think some people can be iffy with preparation of food. Cause he's fully kneading the meat and everything right then and there in front of him while Shariah is clearly coming with an agenda to ask him all these questions.
Clearly. I think when they picked up Soraya, I think Shekinah, before they came down, was like, all right, here's the things you're going to grill them on. Here are all the issues we got, because I don't feel comfortable talking to him about this. You're going to bring up every single thing we got to talk about, because she came in both barrels blazing on this guy. Didn't give him an ounce of a chance.
No, he definitely. So that's and that's probably where we're going. You're going to end up defending him a little bit. But let's get there. So Shariah,
real quick, how do you feel about the empty bottles of alcohol?
Okay. So I feel like that is a trend you see when, you know, you're in college and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I tried every flavor of this vodka. So I collected all the bottles. I'm not a huge fan of keeping them as decoration after that amount, especially in an apartment. I feel like you can use that real estate for literally anything else.
Yeah. It's quirky. It's definitely a, you know, like you said, a college kid thing, but for them to just like, to really come after about that was weird, bizarre.
Yeah. So I, from personal experience, I kept the first bottle that Liana and I shared, and then I ended up throwing it away, but I kept the cork. So I still have the cork from that first bottle.
Right, but you kept it as a memento of a memory.
Yeah.
He claims there's no memories tied to this at all. He just likes the bottles.
He just likes the bottle. I mean, and you know, some bottles be looking good. You know, some, it's not every bottle is like a Smirnoff where it's kind of like, eh. Some of them look good. Maybe some of them are pricey. But again, you're an adult. Stop this.
Right.
So, yeah, you don't need to be doing that. Ultimately, this bottle stuff becomes a big deal. And this is the thing. Shariah opens up a confessional where she says that she doesn't like making an assumption for who people are before really meeting them and interacting with them, and then immediately does away with that confessional and goes about it as if she's known everything she needs to know about Sarper, which, again, I cannot fault her on too much because everything she's heard about Sarper is not good to the point where even the drive to the airport, it was not good, piling on not good.
In her mind, she's not making assumptions. She has facts about what
She's here to prove her point. Her.
Yeah, she has the facts. She has the receipts to back up what she's saying. She's not making no assumptions. She knows what Sarper is only because, as you said, she's only heard the bad things.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, Shekinah wants him to be on his best behavior and to like be a certain way. And I feel like she didn't help out because I think Shekinah also knows that I think Sarper's misunderstood. I know who he is and I like him. But then when the first thing that comes up is the bottles and she's also piling on by saying, yeah, why are you keeping the bottles? It's weird. I was like, all right, you're not going to help this guy. He's going to get defensive before anything has happened yet.
Yeah, you're sabotaging yourself. What do you do? You're piling on with your sister. Like, you are not helping here.
At all. You're not helping at all. So ultimately, this wasn't even the biggest problem because the bottle thing comes up. That's fine. Then, she says that she doesn't like the bottle thing. And Shariah says, well, how does it make you feel that Shekinah is uncomfortable with this? And he then brings up the you know, I posted a thing on the stories. So that's the thing. But then social media, blah, blah. And then he's like, I want to debate these things. I want to talk about these things face to face. Because if I don't and we're doing it on text, she acts like a slut. And he didn't mean slut, to be clear. Yeah.
For sure.
He meant the B word, which is a billion times worse. But the language barrier came in full force here, and neither of the words were going to help him there.
Yeah, he calls her slut, and then rightly so, Shariah is kind of like, you just call her a slut? He's like, oh, is that not a good word? My bad. How about a B?
Like, yeah, I was like,
okay, sorry. Like, oh my god,
bad. This is all bad. Like, at this point, I thought you've lost them. No matter where you're going with this, now Shekinah does say that she feels like he's trying to express himself in English and is having a tough time, so she gets that. Yeah. But she's like,
he's got to come up with a word like synonymous with like a jerk, and he's using these terms that are so out of left field that, you know, for us, of course, don't mean those same things. They're really more harsher terms than those, but you know, I like how she kind of explained that, where it's like, you know, he doesn't really understand exactly what he's saying, and I definitely feel that way because it doesn't feel like he has those kind of intentions when he's saying that, because obviously with what he's trying to say, slut does not match up with what he's trying to relay.
I think he's trying to say that she becomes distant or cold or evasive. Like, obviously there's better words to describe, because And let me preface this by, I am not defending his use of the language that he did.
I feel like you're picking up my baton of attorney here for Sarper.
Never. No, but what I mean is, you know, when you're in a situation where you're about to talk about something difficult with a partner, there's definitely merits to doing it in person, because in person you can immediately rectify a mistake, and by that I mean if you say the wrong thing or if you explain something and gets misunderstood, you can immediately correct it. And hell, you can still do that on a phone call because it's live, it's back and forth, you're relying on the other person to respond to what you're saying. On text, it can be tricky because you can say something and then you've said it wrong, or you say it in a way that comes off harsh or cold, and then the other person might not be physically able to respond to that text message because they're angry, they're upset, whatever the reasons are. But, and that's what he means. But the way he says it is, yeah, you're such a B that I can't even do it textually because you're going to be a B about it. And I was like, okay, that's not good at all.
It's like, oh boy. But yeah, I do like what he said about the face. I mean, that's what we have, like FaceTime. I feel like that's a better avenue to do this from, because it also feels like what he's not saying is, I wanted to get her over here and trap her before I, you know, told her all the bad stuff about me. That's also kind of what it gives to me.
Yeah.
What a lot of our 90 dayers do, unfortunately. Like,
it's their toxic trait.
Yeah. With you're not able to get away in order for me to pile all this bad stuff on you.
Exactly. And honestly, that's the thing, is that I feel like a lot of them end up in this position where they're like, yeah, we'll deal with it when she's here. It's like TJ and the wedding stuff and the customs and the culture. It's like, well, that's not going to work if Kimberly has not had enough time to wrap her head around it. So that's bad. And here we have a similar issue. Now, obviously, the language use does throw things sideways. And this is where I would say I'm kind of with no one, but I'm not with Shariah, because Shariah then says, well, what if she wants to, if you know you have nothing to hide, what if she wants to go through your socials and open your DMs? Like, are you willing to give that to her?
The socials were next on the checklist from Shekinah. Like,
oh, first, immediate. I think that was the main course. I think she tried to like throw some other stuff in as the appetizer to then dive into the main meal.
Yeah, first on the list was the stupid bottles in his house. That was the first on the list she got from Shekinah. Next up, social media. It's like that she went right in on it. So yeah, keep going.
Yeah, so she basically says, would you be willing to open your DMs and share them with Shekinah, like have Shekinah look through your socials? And he said, absolutely not, I would not do that. And Shariah's response is, well, that's because you have something to hide. Then I don't subscribe to this idea that if someone doesn't want to share their messages with you, that they have something to hide. I think that in this instance, when he says it's privacy, I get. However, if you are a retired bad boy with 2,500 women that does not want to post your girlfriend on socials, I can see why it can come off like you have something to hide, and you might have something to hide. But on a like a baseline human level, I subscribe to it's private. I will show you stuff if I want to show you stuff.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation with this, because as you know, he says, well, you know, if I do this for you, you're going to want so much more stuff. I think for him, it's a principle issue, because he doesn't want to look weak. He doesn't want to look, he's doing whatever she wants. So he doesn't want to start down a slippery slope. First it's the DMs, then it's the text, then it's this, this, and this. But the way that he went about it was so incriminating. Never, ever. You will never see my DMs.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you definitely have something to hide. That's a way to have someone think you have something to hide.
100%. I think the way he responded was very harsh and very much making it seem like,
Yeah, not in a calm, like, I feel like that's something that's, you know, private, and that's something that I would rather not show, because, you know, I wouldn't ask you of that, something like that. It's a privacy issue, blah, blah, blah. He's like, never, no, I will never, ever, ever let her see my DMs. Like, wow, it sounds like you got something there you don't want anybody to see.
Yeah, he said he'd rather die than show his DMs to anybody. He said, I don't show my DMs. You don't show your panties. They're both private. And I was like, whoa. Well, that's a weird equation, but okay.
Yeah, I'm more curious than ever now to know what is in his DMs.
Yeah.
Much like Shekinah and Saraya, I'm sure, at that point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like there are, like, on a fundamental, when it's a debate about making someone go through your phone, I feel like I have a stance that might end up seeming like it's siding with Sarper, but I do not agree with the way Sarper handled this. I feel like the defensiveness definitely comes off like he has something that he's hiding, for sure. So that accusation might even be factual at this stage. Mm-hmm. But then also, he got so defensive and then mean, because then Shariah was like, I think I'm just going to go back. I don't feel comfortable being here. And he's like, you're so cute, but you're speaking so much. And I was like, all right, you have lost any right to anything.
It really gives, you know, Nicola, you're so cute when you're mute, Misha.
Yeah.
And he even tells, like, you're so cute, but you talk way too much. Like, oh my God, come on now. Come on, Sarper. Let's not do this. But I did, like, you know, because, you know, Saraya was itching for a fight. She was itching for a fight. And then she pulls the I'm going to leave card. And Sarper's like, all right, see ya later. I'm just going to keep making my whatever it is. I'll check you never.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a change of heart by next episode, because he feels like he sees the error in his way. And maybe he's going to make up with Shariah. But I feel like, and this is a very big thing for me with Sarper, the more I'm seeing him and learning from him, about him, the more I'm realizing that this retired bad boy isn't so much retired and isn't realizing that he is in a relationship and is not willing to budge on things and really feels like if he is checked or asked to do anything, he's changing who he is. And that's not cool because that's who I am. Meanwhile, he's very willing to be like, she kind of needs to do this.
Yeah, I like how he says to her, you know, what do you mean? I am not, you know, I don't have anything to hide. I'm so loyal to you. I don't even mess around on you. That's big for me. That's huge for me.
She was like, I need you to show me respect when he called her a B. And he's like, I'm faithful to you. That's respect.
Because for him, that's the biggest level of respect you can get, right? But you know, and you know, Shariah, she's so ready to go ham on him. She calls him controlling. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you and your sister here just try to make this man throw away his empty bottle collection? What do you call that? That seems controlling to me as well. You're also demanding he show you DMs. Sounds like you're also a little controlling to me as well.
Y'all need to figure your stuff out because this is going nowhere fast, but I'm entertained because I can complain about them. So I like that.
It's mess and I love it. So, yeah. You know, but I do hate that Shekinah, the way that she defends him in a way where Shariah's like, he is crazy. He is terrible. And she's like, well, yeah, it wasn't his best night. wasn't his best night. It's like, oh, okay. You're going to come at it like that, huh? So, you know, Shekinah herself is a mess as well. So they're both messes. So that's the type of thing that I really
watch. 100%. So we'll see where they end up going next week, if the apology tour works or doesn't work. And that's all we've got for y'all here today. Jason, as always, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this mess with me. Let the people know, where can they find you and what are the projects you have going on at the moment?
Yeah, as always, Puya, I love coming on the 90-Day Hot Mess Express with you. Been a fun time per usual. You can find me on Post-Show Recaps right now talking Loki with Sasha Joseph, who y'all just heard last week on this year podcast. Also coming up, Married at First Sight is back after a long hiatus. We're coming back to season 17. Me and Asia Welch will be back on our nonsense on the Perfect Match podcast on the Rob Has Podcast for Hapless Network. So check me out there as well.
There we go. Thank you so much, Jason. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. So come through and say hi. I would appreciate it. Traders Canada has been a fun ride so far. We're 3 episodes in. We've been getting exit interviews, so you can check that out. Myself and Brian Scalley have been having a good time with that. And Masked Singer with Liana Boris is always a delight and a treat. So you can check that out if you've got the time and the interest. And Liana was my guest for 90 Day OG this episode. So you can check that out as well. And if you're watching Big Brother still, I was on a recap this week. I'm on the live feed update. So you can check those out there. But for now, we appreciate you being here. We have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. We'll see you next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
How many days are you gonna wait before it's either knocked down? How many days is it gonna take to decide to walk away now?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.